Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to polish a snare so it has that classic jungle, old-school DNB snap, plus a crunchy, sampler-style texture but still sits clean at fast tempos like 165 to 175. This is intermediate level, so I'm assuming you already know your way around drum racks, simpler, and basic routing in Ableton Live 12. Here's the goal: a layered snare that hits instantly, feels mid-rangey and aggressive like a break snare, and has that slightly dirty old sampler edge without turning into fizzy paper or eating all your headroom. First, quick reality check setup so we're making decisions in context, not in fantasy land solo mode. Set your project tempo to 170 BPM. Go to arrangement view and loop one or two bars. Program a simple kick pattern, and put your snare on 2 and 4. If you've got a break loop you like, drop it in quietly underneath, super low in volume. Even a whisper of a break will help you judge whether your snare feels authentic and whether it fights the groove. Now we're going to build the snare in layers, but with a rule: each layer has one job. If you don't know what a layer is doing, it doesn't get to stay. Create a drum rock on a MIDI track. We'll use two or three pads. Pad 1 is the snap layer. This is the transient. It's the tick that makes the snare feel instant. Think rimshot-ish, tight acoustic hit, or a classic jungle one-shot that's already short and bright. Pad 2 is the body layer. This is the weight and the thwack, usually living around 180 to 250 Hz. This can be a chunkier break snare, a 909-ish type hit, or any snare with actual low mid information. Pad 3 is the crunch layer. This is texture, not punch. It could be a noisy snare, a tiny burst of hats, vinyl noise, or even a micro slice of a break that sounds gritty. The crunch layer is where we'll fake that old sampler degradation. Once each sample is on its own pad, sequence them to hit together on 2 and 4. You're basically building one composite snare out of multiple components. Now, step 2 is where most people mess up and then try to fix it with compression. We're going to fix timing and phase first. Open Simpler for each pad. Zoom into the waveform and adjust the start point so it begins exactly at the transient. You want the snap to happen instantly when the MIDI note hits. If the start is late by even a tiny amount, the snare will feel slow, and at 170 BPM slow equals weak. Then do a phase alignment check by ear. Solo the snap and body together. If the combined sound feels hollow, papery, or like it loses the low mid when you add the second layer, that's usually start point misalignment. Nudge the start of one layer by tiny increments until the thwack gets bigger and the hit feels more solid. You're listening for reinforcement, not perfection on the screen. While you're here, set the envelope so these layers don't smear your groove. On the snap layer, keep it short. Decay around 80 to 150 milliseconds is a good ballpark. Sustain basically off. On the body layer, a bit longer is fine, like 180 to 350 milliseconds, but still controlled. Remember, jungle drums need space for ghost notes, rides, and the break. But if your snare tail is long, everything starts to blur and you'll feel it even if you don't know what you're hearing. For the crunch layer, also keep it fairly short. Texture should read as attitude, not as a wash. Now let's EQ each layer like you're editing a break, not like you're making it brighter. We're carving rolls. On the snap pad, drop an EQ8. High pass it somewhere around 200 to 350 Hz. You do not need low mids in your transient layer. Then add a gentle wide boost in the present zone, roughly 3 to 6 kHz, maybe plus 2 to 4 dB. If you want a tiny bit of air, you can add a small lift around 10 to 12 kHz, but be careful. Modern air can instantly make old school drums feel too clean. On the body pad EQ, high pass around 90 to 140 Hz. Then find that body pocket around 180 to 250 Hz and boost carefully, maybe 2 to 5 dB wide. If it starts honking or sounding like cardboard, dip around 400 to 700 Hz by a couple dB. On the crunch pad EQ, we're going to keep it out of the way of the real punch. High pass it aggressively, somewhere between 500 Hz and 1 kHz. Then emphasize the grit area, usually 2 to 5 kHz. And here's the key: low pass it somewhere around 8 to 12 kHz so it doesn't turn into fizzy modern top end. This is one of the biggest differences between hardware crunch and cheap digital fizz. Quick coaching note before we add grit: gain staging inside the drum rack matters more than whatever you do at the end. Pull down the volume of each layer so that, when they all hit together, the combined snare on the group peaks around minus 12 to minus 8 dBFS. Give yourself room. Compression and saturation behave way better when you're not slamming them. Now we'll create that sampler crunch. There are a few stock ways. Pick one main method so you keep control. Method A is Redux, classic bit reduction vibes, which Redux on the crunch layer. Start with bit reduction around 10 to 12 bits, and sample rate around 12 to 18 kHz. That range often gives you old box texture without completely shredding it. After Redux, add an auto filter in low pass 12 mode, set cutoff around 7 to 10 kHz and keep resonance subtle. That filter after degradation is the secret sauce, because it keeps the crunch gritty instead of sizzling. Method B is saturator plus resampling, which is honestly very jungle authentic, because printing audio commits you to a sound. Put saturator on the crunch layer, choose analog clip or soft sign, drive maybe 3 to 8 dB, and pull the output down so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Then resample it. Create a new audio track, set audio from to that crunch chain or the whole rack if you want. Record a few hits, then drag that recorded audio back into a new simpler and trim it tight. The reason this works is it stops feeling like a plug-in chain and starts feeling like a piece of audio, which is how a lot of classic drum texture happened in the first place. Method C is erosion. Put erosion on the crunch layer, set it to noise mode, frequency around 2.5 to 6 kHz, and keep the amount small, like 0.3 to 1.5. This is one of those devices where half a notch too far goes from tasty to painful. After erosion, use EQ8 to tame any nasty spikes while you're dialing crunch. Here is a really useful Lev 12 habit. Drop a spectrum on your snare group and watch where the energy is stacking up. If your snare feels small, you might be missing support around 180 to 240 Hz, or you cut it too hard. If it feels clicky or annoying, there's often a narrow spike around 3.5 to 5.5 kHz. Try a narrow dip of just 1 to 3 dB. Tiny moves here can feel like magic. Next, we glue the layers together on a snare bus. You can group the snare chains or route the pads internally. The idea is all your snare layers hit one processing chain. On the snare bus, start with drum bus. Drive around 2 to 6. Crunch around 5 to 20. But listen closely because too much gets papery fast. Boom is usually off or extremely low for this style. Then use the transient control. If the snare needs more edge, push it up, like plus 5 to plus 20, but don't rely on this to fix bad start points. Damp can be useful if the top end is too crispy. Try damping around 8 to 12 kHz. After drum bus, add glue compressor. Set attack to 3 milliseconds, release to auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the hardest hits. If you're clamping 6 dB, you're probably compensating for layer problems or the snare is way too loud going in. Then finish the snare bus with soft clipping, so you can get loud without spiky peaks. Use saturator at the end, turn soft clip on, drive 1 to 4 dB, and pull the output down to keep it from overshooting. This is that loud but controlled feeling you want in DNB. Now let's add microspace, because old school snares often have a little room or plate vibe, not a massive modern reverb tail. Create a return track called Snare Verb. Put hybrid reverb on it. Choose a room or plate. Set decay around 0.4 to 0.9 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds so the snap stays up front and the reverb blooms behind it. High cut around 6 to 9 kHz. Then after the reverb, add EQ8 and high pass around 300 to 600 Hz to keep the low mids from clouding the groove. If the verb gets harsh, tip a little around 2 to 4 kHz. Send your snare bus to this return subtly, like minus 18 to minus 10 dB depending on your gain staging. You want to notice it when you mute it, not when it's on. Pro tip, if the reverb starts washing out your hats and rides in dense sections, don't just shorten the reverb. Duck it. Put a compressor after hybrid reverb on the return. Enable sidechain and sidechain from the dry snare. That way the verb tucks under the hit and blooms after, which is perfect for fast tempos. Now we make it roll in an arrangement, because a polished jungle snare is not static for 5 minutes. In the drop, run full layers, snap, body, crunch, for a 16-bar variation. Automate the crunch layer down by 1 or 2 dB for 8 bars, then bring it back. That small change reads as movement without changing the identity. In the breakdown, try muting the body layer and leaving snap plus a touch more verb. It teases the groove. And add ghost notes like real break programming. Use low velocity hits, around 10 to 35 velocity, on 16 THS leading into the main snare. Often I'll use mostly the body layer for these ghosts, but high pass it more aggressively so it doesn't fog up the groove. You can also do a tiny ghost flam trick. Put a very quiet, very short body hit 10 to 25 milliseconds before the main snare. That gives you that chopped break feel without actually slicing a whole break. A few common mistakes to avoid while you work. First, overlayering. 4 to 6 layers usually becomes phase mess and mush. 2 strong layers and 1 texture layer is plenty. Second, too much redux or crunch. If your snare starts sounding like paper tearing, back off and filter it. Crunch should feel like density, not like a high-frequency disaster. Third, tails that are too long at 170 BPM. Long decays smear the groove and fight hats. Fourth, ignoring context. A snare that sounds insane solo can be totally wrong once the break and bass arrive. Keep a slash beating in your loop. And fifth, headroom. If you clip the snare bus before processing, everything gets harsh fast. Keep that snare groove peak around -12 to -8 while building, and you'll thank yourself later. One more advanced coach note. M/S decisions matter. Keep the punch centered and let the texture spread. Put utility on the body pad and bring width down to 0 to 30%. On the crunch pad, you can push width to 110 to 140% if it doesn't smear. Then check mono. If the snare collapses in mono, reduce the crunch width and shorten its decay. Jungle still needs to hit on big systems, and in clubs where mono compatibility matters more than you think. Mini practice exercise to lock this in. Build your 3-layer snare. Snap, body, crunch.